Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Creative Cure by Jacob Nordby is a guide to using creativity as a practical pathway toward emotional healing, self-trust, and a more meaningful life. Positioned at the intersection of personal development and creative practice, the book invites readers to reconsider art, not as a luxury or a talent reserved for a few, but as an innate human capacity that can restore vitality and resilience. Nordby emphasizes that many people lose access to their creative voice through fear, criticism, perfectionism, or long seasons of merely coping. In response, he frames creative work as an embodied process that helps individuals process grief, anxiety, burnout, and disconnection. Rather than focusing on technical mastery, the approach centers on permission, play, and honest expression. The book encourages small, sustainable creative rituals and a gentler relationship with inner experience. For readers who feel blocked, stuck, or numbed out, it offers a hopeful structure for reclaiming imagination and turning it into daily medicine. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing creativity as a healing practice. A central idea of the book is that creativity functions less like a performance skill and more like a healing modality available to anyone. Instead of treating art as an outcome to be judged, Nordby presents it as a process that helps people metabolize experience, regulate emotion, and reconnect with meaning. When life feels overwhelming, the body and mind often narrow into survival patterns, and this can make a person feel flat, reactive, or disconnected from desire. Creative practice widens that narrowness by giving emotion a form, a container, and a direction. The book encourages readers to approach creative acts as experiments, not auditions, and to notice what changes internally when they draw, write, sing, craft, or improvise without trying to impress anyone. This reframing lowers the stakes, which is crucial for those who have been shamed or discouraged in the past. It also supports a shift from productivity to presence, where the value lies in showing up consistently. Over time, creativity becomes a form of self-care that strengthens identity, supports integration, and helps readers feel alive again. Secondly, identifying and releasing inner blocks and inner critics, the book pays close attention to the forces that shut down creative expression, especially the internal voices that equate making with risk. Nordby explores how perfectionism, comparison, and fear of judgment can create a chronic sense of not enough, which leads to procrastination or abandoning projects. He also addresses how early experiences, such as criticism from authority figures or cultural messaging about practicality, can become internalized rules that keep people from experimenting. A key theme is learning to recognize these patterns without treating them as proof of personal failure. Readers are guided to name the inner critic, observe its triggers, and understand what it is trying to protect. This stance makes it possible to respond with compassion rather than compliance. The book emphasizes that healing does not require eliminating fear. It requires relating to fear differently and moving forward in small steps. By lowering expectations, accepting messy beginnings, and allowing imperfect work, readers reclaim agency. The result is not only more creativity, but also greater confidence in daily decisions and relationships. Thirdly, building a daily creative ritual that fits real life, Nordby emphasizes consistency over intensity, arguing that creative healing works best when it becomes a realistic habit rather than an occasional burst of inspiration. The book encourages readers to create a simple routine that respects limited time, fluctuating energy, and competing responsibilities. This means choosing small commitments, such as a short daily writing session, a quick sketch, or a few minutes of music, and treating that time as a protected appointment with the self. The focus is on reducing friction by preparing tools in advance, creating a dedicated corner or portable kit, and using prompts when the mind goes blank. Nordby also highlights the importance of self-permission, suggesting that many people wait to feel ready, motivated, or confident before creating, when the real transformation comes from showing up in any mood. Through this lens, a ritual becomes a stabilizing anchor during stress, grief, or uncertainty. The practice trains the nervous system to associate creativity with safety and renewal. Over time, a modest daily habit can accumulate into significant personal change, producing both emotional release and a stronger sense of identity. Fourthly, using creative expression to process emotion and trauma, another important topic is the relationship between creativity and emotional processing. The book frames art making as a way to give form to feelings that are difficult to articulate, such as grief, anger, shame, or longing. When emotion stays unexpressed, it often shows up as tension, rumination, numbness, or reactive behavior. Creative work offers an indirect language that can bypass overthinking and help a person approach pain with gentleness. Nordby encourages readers to let the work hold the truth of their experience without immediately trying to fix it. This can involve journaling to explore personal narratives, visual art to externalize internal states, or movement and sound to release stored energy. The emphasis remains on safety, pacing, and self-respect rather than forcing catharsis. Readers are invited to notice how creative practice can reveal patterns, bring buried memories into awareness, and open new perspectives. While the book is not positioned as a substitute for professional therapy, it offers a complementary path that supports integration. The outcome is often a greater sense of clarity, self-compassion, and emotional resilience. Lastly, reclaiming identity, meaning, and a more authentic life. Beyond specific techniques, the book presents creativity as a route back to a more authentic self. Many adults learn to define themselves through roles and responsibilities, which can lead to a sense of living on autopilot. Nordby encourages readers to remember what they loved before they learned to be careful, and to use creativity to rediscover values, desires, and personal truth. Creative work becomes a way to practice honesty, because it reveals what someone is drawn to, what they avoid, and what themes repeat in their inner world. This self-knowledge can influence major life decisions, such as career direction, relationships, boundaries, and how one spends time. The book also addresses the spiritual or existential dimension of making, where the act of creation can restore meaning during seasons of loss or transition. By focusing on process and presence, readers learn to trust their own voice again and to take risks that align with who they are. The healing is not only emotional, but also directional. Creativity helps people craft a life that feels intentional rather than merely acceptable. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who feel creatively blocked, emotionally drained, or disconnected from themselves, including people navigating burnout, grief, anxiety, or major life transitions. It can also benefit writers, artists, and entrepreneurs who want a healthier relationship with their craft, especially those trapped in perfectionism or chronic self-criticism. The value of The Creative Cure is its emphasis on creativity as lived practice rather than talent, which makes the approach accessible to beginners and restorative for experienced makers. By encouraging small rituals, compassionate self-observation, and permission to create imperfectly, the book helps readers build resilience and a steadier inner life. Many self-help books focus on mindset alone. Nordby adds the body and the imagination, offering a practical way to process emotion through doing. Compared to similar creativity titles that concentrate on productivity or artistic success, this one is oriented toward healing and wholeness. It frames creative work as a form of self-care that can improve mood, clarity, and self-trust. For readers seeking tools that translate into daily change, it is worth buying because it offers a hopeful, sustainable path back to aliveness. If you would like to support Jacob Nordby, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.